إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وأنعم وبارك على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى says in the Quran: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. He says, O believers, have taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means that we should be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be aware of Him, and we should protect ourselves from His punishment and His wrath, and we shouldn't allow ourselves to die except in a state of submission to Him, a state of Islam, a state of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I begin my khutbah by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost to send blessings and prayers upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin fil awwaleen, wa salli alayhi fil akhirin, wa salli alayhi fil mala'i al-a'la ila yawm al-deen. Amma ba'd. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. About 2 weeks ago, I had an interesting conversation with one of our Muslim youth. He came to my office and he had really legitimate concern about his faith, about Islam. And he said to me, Sheikh, I'm sick and tired of hearing things related to mental health when it comes to the religion. You always say, pray and your depression will vanish. Pray and your anxiety will be gone. And in practicality, is not true, because prayer is not helping me go over my depression. And subhanAllah, it was a deep question. It was really profound question that got me to think about the subject in a deeper level. And my response to this brother, I told him, first and foremost, define to me what depression you're talking about. Because according to what you're going to say, I will be able to give you the right response. Where to draw? I think the question that you need to ask is that where to draw the line between spiritual strength and mental health? In other words, when can you say that prayer will actually help you grow spiritually, or you really need to see and seek medical intervention? Just make it very simple. Does prayer help your mental health? I told him the direct answer is yes, it does. Yes, prayer can help you in terms of your emotional growth. And this is not only the Islamic approach, this is the secular approach as well. Many studies spoke about how religion and how faith activities, engaging in faith activities, will have an impact on your anxiety and your depression. There is a study that was published recently from International Congress in Religion and Mental Health. They spoke about how practicing your own faith makes you grow emotionally, and it will have an impact on your anxiety and depression. They say by increasing your faith practices, it will decrease your depression and anxiety. Now, he told me, but in practicality, I'm not seeing this. I'm not seeing that prayer is helping me. And then my answer to him, I told him, there are, and this is also, you know, experts, even secular, you know, experts, secular mental health professionals speak about this. They say there are three things that every one of us have. Our feelings, our thoughts, and our actions. We want you to memorize these three things. Very important. Everyone experiences this. Everyone has these three things. You have your feelings, you have your thoughts, and you have your actions. Experts say that you have control over two of the three things, and you have absolutely no control over one. The things that you have control over, me and you, is our thoughts and our actions. We have no control over our feelings. In other words, we don't really control how we feel, but we do get to control how we think. And therefore, it will have an impact on your actions. So I told this brother, I'll give you two scenarios. And you please tell me if that plays a role in your mental health or not. I told him, imagine you wake up in the morning. The first thing you do in the morning, you are actually feeling a little depressed. You're not demotivated to start your day. You just don't have any energy for the day. And you're still in your bed. Scenario A, you actually give up getting off the bed, you hold your phone, and then you start scrolling on your phone, getting to from TikTok to Instagram, and then from Instagram to other apps, and just going through some videos, and you stay in your bed for, you know, a little while in the morning, and then eventually you start your day. That's scenario A. Scenario B, you wake up in the morning and you're feeling demotivated. And then you say dua al-istiqaz min al-nawm. You say the dua of the morning. You say alhamdulillah alladhi ahyani ba'dama amatani wa ilayhi an-nushur. Ya Allah, I thank you. Ya Allah, I thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon me. Ya Allah, I acknowledge all the blessings that you have bestowed upon me. And Ya Allah, I'm grateful for you giving me life after minor death, after sleeping. Ya Allah, I thank you for giving me a new day. Wa ilayhi an-nushur. And Ya Allah, I know for a fact that to you I will be resurrected. You're reminding yourself, you're refreshing your faith, you're reminding yourself by the Day of Judgment. You're starting off the first thing. Now you're actually controlling your thoughts. You're forcing your thoughts to be positive in the morning, to think about the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to refresh your faith. And then you force yourself, remember, two things that you can actually control, your thoughts and your actions. So you force yourself and you get up and you make wudu and you go and you pray Fajr. And wallahi, it will be amazing if you attend Fajr in Jama'ah. Ask anyone who regularly attends Fajr in Jama'ah, how do you feel getting out of the masjid when you see traces of light in the sky and it's about to be sunrise? Sun is about to be rising. Ask anyone who experiences this, how do you feel? Wallahi, they will tell you that I feel this very special feeling of sweetness. I feel happier. Just getting out of the masjid after a Fajr prayer, after engaging in this beautiful activity of Fajr prayer, and then getting out and starting off my day. And before even praying Salat al-Fajr, it's sunnah that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is to perform a ghusl before any social gathering. So just imagine like this, you're starting your day, you're making dua to Allah, you're conscious of Allah, you are reminding yourself with your own faith, you go and you take a cold shower, and then you head to the masjid and pray Fajr. These are two scenarios. I want you to tell me. Because experts say that the first thing that you do in the morning will have an impact on you the rest of the day. The first thing, the very first thing that you do in the morning, it will have an impact on you the rest of the day. So imagine you start off your day this way versus the other scenario. Wallahi, by experience, scenario B, you will feel more productive. You will feel more content. You feel that you have connected to your Rabb, your Creator, and definitely that will have an impact on you the rest of the day. Imagine you do this on a daily basis. Imagine how your life will look like. Does mental health, does your religiosity has an impact on your mental health? The answer is absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. The way you control your thoughts, you're thinking positively about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many people that they go through difficult time or depression, one of the reasons why they're depressed is because they beat up themselves. They go hard on themselves. And they think that's a punishment. And then the Islamic perspective will come and tells them, no. Islam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually rewarding you based on this difficult time that you're going through. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every single pain you feel, ما يصيب المسلم. He said, every single pain you feel, even if it's a little pain, it is rewarded from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So imagine, you're going through this difficult time, but yet you're not beating up yourself. You're thinking that Allah is rewarding you going through this time, this difficult time. Does Islam have anything to do with anxiety? Absolutely, yes. And here is the line. There are two levels of anxiety that we're talking about. And that was so crucial for this brother to understand. I told him there are two levels of anxiety. There is this normal level of anxiety that every human experiences. Me and you experience anxiety on a daily basis. And this is from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to actually process when we are in a dangerous position. Processing this, you have to be a little anxious when you're going through, you know, a position where you need to be cautious. The idea of being cautious comes from being a little anxious. And this is from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every one of us, at some point of our lives, we will experience a little of anxiety. Growing up, you have a test. You'll be anxious about your test. In college, you're a little concerned. You're a little anxious. You have a little bit of an anxiety of your exams. And then when you graduate, people tend to be also anxious and have a lot of anxiety because you don't know whether you'll get a job. Your very first job is something that you have an anxiety over. And after this, the process of seeking a spouse and getting married, you'll experience some of an anxiety. And then after getting married, you'll have an anxiety whether you have a children or not. And after having children, you still have some anxiety whether these children will be righteous or not. You have an anxiety over their health. You have an anxiety over their well-being. And so you have two scenarios in the first level of anxiety. Either you give up yourself to this anxiety to have control over you, or religion comes in place and tells you have tawakkul ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do everything within your means. And remember, Remember that there is a creator that has absolutely control over your affairs. People have an anxiety because things are uncertain. Uncertain in the future. You don't know. And Muslims believe in the certain, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, over what's uncertain, which are the things that you have control, no control over. Now tell me if Islam has an impact on your mental health or not. Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. You know that Allah is in control. Therefore, you face yourself towards Allah and you make dua, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant my children shifa. Ya Allah, grant my children success. Ya Allah, grant me a good job. Yes, you're doing everything within your means. Within your means, you're doing absolutely everything that's needed from your side. But then there is a part that you have no control over. And Islam comes in this moment where you feel and you remind yourself by putting your ultimate trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will take care of you. Second level of anxiety that is more advanced, more serious, measured anxiety that's crippling you from your daily activities. This moment, you definitely need to seek medical assistance. You will see a therapist, and the therapist will determine whether you actually need to see a psychiatrist, whether you need medical intervention or not. But that's the major anxiety and the major depression. And even through this process, you're reminding yourself by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is the Shafi. Allah is the one who cures. Now tell me, if Islam has an impact on your mental health, the answer is absolutely yes. Then he told me another question, the second question. He said, Sheikh, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever, you know, considered mental health as something that is really important? Did the Sahaba considered mental health? Because nowadays you talk about religion and mental health, but even the Prophet wasn't even concerned about mental health. I told him, no, that's false. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was definitely concerned about mental health. And there are a couple of occasions, for the sake of time, I'll share briefly, inshallah ta'ala, that you know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was actually concerned about his companions' mental health. One of these incidents, when Hassan ibn Thabit, radiallahu anhu, one of the Sahaba who used to make beautiful poems for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was very dear to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Hassan ibn Thabit came to the Prophet in one of the battles, the battle of Al-Khandaq. And he said to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, I don't think I'll be able to fight. I get overwhelmed, and I don't think I'm going to be able to fight in this battle. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him to stay in the back and to stay in a castle with the children and with the women, and he have excused him from being on the battlefield. And then some of the, you know, of the soldiers of Quraysh sneaked and actually were too close to attack the castle that has the women and the children, along with Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. And one of the Sahabiyyah told him, aren't you, a fighter? Go and defend us. And he said to her, you know, that's why I asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to excuse you. I don't think I'm going to be able to fight. Thinking about Hassan ibn Thabit's situation in modern psychology, we have a diagnosis for it. This man clearly had PTSD. He cannot process any sounds of the swords because it triggers him, and therefore he will not be able to fight. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has acknowledged his mental disability of being in the battlefield of Al-Khandaq. Another situation that happened when this little boy lost his bird. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approached this little boy and told him, why are you actually, you know, sitting alone? See, like, this is how we do in chaplaincy. We go to hospital, we go to jail and speak to patients. This is how we do it. You start off a conversation to see what's going on. And then after opening a conversation, just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, the second step, any chaplain will tell you this, the second step is to actually acknowledge somebody's feelings. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, ماذا فعل النعير? And his name was Aba Umair. So he told him, ماذا فعل النعير يا أبا عمير? It's like, he came up with a beautiful rhythm that can actually make the kid excited to engage in a conversation. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, see like how beautiful even the question is. He didn't tell him, what did you do to the bird? He told him, what did the bird do? He did not want to overwhelm him. The guy is already crying. He's going through a difficult time. He acknowledged his feelings. And he did not give him any sense of guiltness. He just told him, like, what is going on with you? What's up? That was the approach of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The other man, other occasion, multiple incidents that happened at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it showed you that mental health mattered to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When this man came to the Prophet and told him, I'm just overwhelmed with negative thoughts and I have a lot of debts to pay off and I'm just feeling not very well. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually had a conversation with him, acknowledged his feelings, and he gave him a beautiful dua that we all know now. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan wal-ajizi wal-kasal wal-bukhl wal-jubn wa a'udhu bika min ghalabati ad-dayn wa qahri ar-rijal. Beautiful dua that we can talk about later inshallah ta'ala. But this beautiful dua the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him as a prescription to this brother who came with a legitimate concern. Yes, psychology knowledge was not something very advanced at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but that did not mean that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam disregarded people's feelings and people's mental disabilities. In fact, in Kutub al-Fiqh, and inshallah ta'ala I will end with this, in Kutub al-Fiqh, if you open any kitab fiqh, any classical fiqh book, you will find that one of the conditions and why or whether your prayer, you're eligible for a prayer or eligible for zakah or eligible for fasting, one of these conditions is al-aql. Your intellect, your mental ability to practice that particular ibadah. And if you're not in the mental capacity to practice your own religion, then you are excused. And guess what? That was actually formed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and by the Sahaba and by Tabi'een. So to wrap all of this up, does Islam have an impact, or faith have an impact on your mental health? Absolutely yes. Does that disregard you seeking mental help from professionals? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam acknowledge people that they have mental disabilities? Absolutely yes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did acknowledge those who are going through difficult time with their mental well-being. And so I encourage everybody, insha'Allah ta'ala, to always constantly reminding ourselves that yes, embracing and engaging in salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, engaging on du'as in the morning, engaging in our salawat, will definitely have an impact on the way we feel and the way we process life and the way we look at life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who will actually engage in these beautiful acts of worship. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما وأقم الصلاة